Parenting a child with ADHD can be stressful. Chad's here to help. Parent-to-parent training courses offered by Chad are designed to fit easily into your already busy schedule. Get the training you need online, on demand, or in your community. Learn from parents who have experienced the same challenges as you. Topics include managing ADHD, proven parenting strategies, and educational rights for your child with ADHD. Register today, chad.org/parents. Chad members eligible for special member pricing. Click, join, get involved.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, AttentionTalkRadio.com, AttentionTalkVideo.com, and AttentionTalkNews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at Facebook.com/AttentionTalkRadio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I am your guest host, ADHD Coach Caroline McGuire. We have a great show for you tonight. Our title is Finally, Are They Going to Police the Section 504 Plans? And with us in our virtual studio is Dr. Jeffrey Katz. Today is March 2nd, 2016 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And before we get into the meat of the show, I have a few announcements. Dr. Barkley has asked us to promote ADHDfund.com, a crowdsourcing website to raise money for small-scale research worldwide. The Attention Talk Radio Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming to think about, for me at least. That is why I made a list, or Jeff Copper made a list, of the top 10 favorite Attention Talk Radio interviews to be downloaded at www.digcoaching.com/ATR. And this year's International ADHD Professionals Conference, hosted by the ADHD Coaches Organization, is being held in Reston, Virginia, April 28th to May 1st. I will be there. I'm sure Jeff will too. If you are a professional who wants to learn coaching skills to use with your clients, need tools to build your business, or are a member of the public who would like to attend the open house, go to www.ADHDProfessionalsConference.com to register for the International ADHD Professionals Conference today. And I think that's the end of our announcement, so let's get into the meat of the show. Again, with us in our virtual studio is Dr. Jeffrey Katz. Dr. Katz specializes in assessing and treating ADHD, learning disabilities, and behavioral difficulties of children and adolescents. He advocates in the school system regarding rules and regulations governing Section 504 and special education. He is on the board of directors at CHAD and chairs their public policy committee and is on the Disabilities Advisory Committee of the Tidewater Community College, which is just wonderful. He has a lot of experience. And Dr. Katz has a website, drjeffreykatz.com, if you want to look up more about him. Dr. Katz, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello, Carolyn.
Dr. Katz, you and I had a talk when we were at the CHAD conference, and I was saying to you that this was a particular topic I was interested in, because over the years, the kids that I work with often have trouble not only getting services, but enforcing the services that they are given. And
Right. You
said something phenomenal to me. I said most parents I work with are really upset if they get a 504 plan because they feel like it's not as efficacious and that they don't want that. They want an independent education plan. But you said to me, no, things are changing, and that this is the genesis of this show. So can you first tell us about these two plans, and then what's changing? I'm excited if things are changing.
Well, so let me say a little bit about the difference between having a Section 504 plan and having an IEP, an Individualized Educational Program, and that which is more associated with special educational services. So the simple part of the IEP or special educational services is if your child has a learning disability, they need specialized instruction so that they need to be taught in a different way than the other kids may be taught, so they have an IEP. And if your child has ADD and the ADD itself is so severe that it's significantly interfering with the child's progress in school, one can also get an IEP, special educational services, under the category of other health impaired. And there are a lot of things under other health impaired. It could be blindness, it could be this, it could be that. But ADHD is one of those things that is listed, primarily thanks to the work that Chad has done in the past to make sure that ADD is listed in these things. So that's, you know, the difference. That under an IEP, it has always been specialized teaching, specialized services. Under a Section 504, which does not come under the IDEA, Individual with Disabilities Educational Act, which is governing the education side, Section 504 comes out of the Office of Civil Rights. So it's a civil rights issue that if somebody has a disability, they cannot be denied access. So, you know, there are wheelchair ramps, but, you know, things like that. And it's the same thing for disabilities such as ADD, that people need to have access to their education. So over the course of time, over the past, what do you get for Section 504? You get accommodations. Teacher due in the classroom to ease the symptoms of the ADD. And, you know, the typical ones would be extra time or, you know, reducing the amount of work, an extra set of books at home, some assistance with organization, those sorts of things. And so that's kind of one piece. So, Carolyn, what you're referring to is that, and I'm also, as Carolyn mentioned, I'm on the co-chair of the Public Policy Committee of CHAD, and we have some very good people on this committee. I'm not the expert. There's other people who are experts in what they do. So some are educational attorneys. We have some educators, you know, just people from different areas who really know their thing. And also as another piece of it, and I'll try and be brief, in 2014, I think it was 2014 or 2013, CHAD's conference was in Northern Virginia, right? And since we were so close to the federal government, the Public Policy Committee put out an invitation to the Office of Civil Rights of the Department of Education to come give a presentation at the conference. We thought that would be a good thing. They declined. However, they invited us to meet with them at their offices in D.C. that same weekend. So, in fact, on that Friday, a group of us from the Public Policy Committee went to the Office of Civil Rights, Department of Education, and had a meeting with them about concerns that we had, and it was everything about issues about discrimination about with kids with ADD, having to do with that the schools were not identifying kids with ADD, that 504 plans were often poorly written, that if they were written, they were not enforced well, that there were differences in how kids with ADD were identified in different school districts and even within school districts, what it could get from school to school. So there's a lot of disparities, concern about behavioral concerns when kids got into trouble. And then after that meeting, Chad put out a survey to all its members about their experiences with ADD. And as you might expect, overwhelmingly, parents reported that they had very poor experiences with Section 504 in the schools. So along the lines that I talked about, as well as some other things. So we were then able to put all this data together and send it to Office of Civil Rights. And they became very, very interested. And it's not that they weren't interested before. I think they've always been interested in the civil rights of people with disabilities, and they were aware of concerns about ADD. But here we were able to give them some real data that these are the problems people are having, and they're pervasive.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, our understanding is that the Office of Civil Rights is working to put out guidance to every school district in the country about the implementation of 504. Now, I don't know what they're going to put there. We're kind of waiting with bated breath what they're going to come up with. But we have been able to assist them in terms of providing them information so that there are certain areas that they've had questions about. And Chad has access to the experts. We have access to the people that can provide the information they need. For example, one of the questions was about can a school psychologist diagnose ADD? So we spoke with the National Association of School Psychologists. We talked to a lot of different groups, and we were able to provide them information. How they use that, I don't know, but we feel like we've been helpful in helping them to understand ADD itself as well as the plight of parents. So that's an introduction. Back to the question of what's different these days, or what seems to be different, is there's a fundamental issue of language. So when it comes to special educational services, if your child has an IEP, what the regulations state, the federal law, is that the school needs to show that your child is making progress. Now, if you've heard that, raise your hand.
Yes, I was just about to say, I've sat in so many meetings where that's been said.
Right. But you know what? The issue is, are you making progress? And then that becomes an area, because they are not saying that your child is going to reach their full potential.
Well, and that
they're
was what
saying,
I was just about to ask. What is progress?
Oh, progress is whatever the school defines as progress.
Right.
Right? Now, at one point, I would say that this, you know, the kind of expectation was, if the child's reading level was a 2.5, you know, second grade, fifth month, but they were in the fifth grade, progress should be a year's progress in over the course of the year up to a 3.5. But even that doesn't seem to work, because the school, and I'm not being angry at schools, I think I am angry, but it's trying to get them to understand. But
right.
What I often hear now in these meetings is, well, you know, look, their IEP goal was to do this and that, and look, they're passing that, or they're reaching that goal, they're making progress. You know, we don't have to guarantee anything but that they're making progress. And then that
right.
becomes a point of contention. What does
right.
it mean to make progress? And you can run into big issues. Now, on the flip side, when it comes to Section 504, and I don't have the exact wording, but under Section 504, people are supposed to have access, and to the extent that their peers, to their peers, it's to level the playing field, that it doesn't say some progress. It says they should be doing as well as they would be expected to as their peers if they didn't have the disability.
So in other words, that's making it sure that one kid, a kid who is at a reading level way below everyone else, that's a problem because they're supposed to be along with their peers, is what I hear you saying.
Yeah, but Section 504 now doesn't necessarily cover learning disabilities about teaching kids with learning disabilities. It's about ameliorating the negative effects of the disability.
Okay, that's important.
But, right, so it's slightly different. So when it comes, and the other part of that more and more people are talking about, in our discussion with OCR, I think it's their concern too, is that giving accommodations to a child with ADD, giving them extra time, helping them to be organized, any of these things are not teaching the child the skills that they need.
Right.
So in the past, it has always been accommodations are, you know, how do we make it easier, which is good, right? But what's turning is the idea that kids need to be taught these skills. It's no good to just do it for them. They need to be taught the skills. Now, I live in Virginia Beach, Virginia, not near the water, but close enough. It's nice. They've changed how 504 is done here. And it's very interesting. The person within the Virginia Beach school system who is runs the 504, he's a great, great guy. And when he does a 504 plan, what he is teaching all the people in the schools to do is that they have the 504 page, you know, here's what the disability is, here's how it affects the kid, what are the accommodations. But then on the additional minutes page, additional stuff, you can write down interventions. You can write down that the teacher is going to work with the child to teach system of organization. Or an intervention is going to be assisting the kid in learning better time management. So what used to be goals in the IEP, we can put in now as interventions. But it's not good enough just to give the child extra time or for the teacher to oversee the child's project to make sure it gets in on time, but that the teachers should be doing interventions so that the child is learning better how to do it on their own.
Awesome.
And not that, it is awesome. And you know,
no, that's wonderful.
It is. And realistically, kids with ADD and adults with ADD, these are problems you're going to have and probably have them for a long time. But the idea is you really want to give the child the skills so that they are in the position to set themselves up for success in the future. You know, it's interesting.
I have to run to a break, but I like what you're saying, the skills to set themselves up for success in the future, and that's what all of us who work with these kids really want, and what you and I have sat in meetings before and felt, I'm sure. When we come back, let's talk about those skills setting the child up in the future and to tell the parents listening a little about what do you do if you don't have a wonderful person who's doing things differently as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to run to a break. We'll be right back. We're here with Dr. Jeffrey Katz. Dr. Katz has a website for consulting services, Dr. Jeffrey Katz, KATZ.com, and you can write him info@drjeffreykatz.com. We'll be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We are here with Dr. Jeffrey Katz. And before the break, Dr. Katz, you said something that is music to my ears as an attention coach working with children. Skills, the 504 should provide skills to get the child so that they are to help the child so they are successful in the future, set themselves up to,
yeah,
for success.
Right.
And my, you know, I love it. I'm so excited that Chad did so much and met with the Office of Civil Rights. But my question is, so if a school is not putting those accommodations or interventions in, you know, it sounds like the Office of Civil Rights could enforce it. Could they not enforce it? Do parents,
yeah,
have recourse?
Yes, and so one of the concerns that Chad had shared out of that survey I talked about before was that schools, the schools themselves were not making explicit what the parents' recourse was. How do you appeal, or how do you challenge, you know, what the school thinks the accommodation or the, you know, how the 504 should be handled, and that they weren't giving the information about what that process is. The other concern was that the Office of Civil Rights, they work out of regions. So if there's a 504 concern, you don't go to the State Board of Education. They don't handle it. You have to go to the regional office or the Office of Civil Rights. And so there was concern about how easy it is or not to get the Office of Civil Rights to step in. Interestingly, in my area here, they've been doing a lot more of it. So that has been a concern. And but so if you have a complaint, I mean, I would always say, yes, you try and work through the school first. You have to find out if you disagree what their avenue. But then secondly, you do have the Office of Civil Rights. And I often, when I have a dispute with the school, whether it's special ed or 504, is I'll call the Office of Civil Rights or I'll call the State Department of Education and run it by, well, what do you think about this? You know, does this make sense to you? Or does that not make sense? Or it seems to me that they're not following the rules. And they'll talk to you about it. I mean, you don't have to file the complaint to get some information. And the other part is talking to other parents and hopefully people like me, too, who are involved in this to get some ideas of how to pursue it. Is that what you mean, Carolyn? Is that what you're wondering?
It's absolutely what I mean. And you know, what I'm thinking of, too, Dr. Katz, is that I've known so many parents over the years who'll say, well, I know that the school is not doing what they should do, right?
Yeah.
I know that
yeah.
they didn't follow this plan. They didn't write the interventions, whatever it is. But, you know, it takes some level of bravery, and they
yeah.
feel like, well, what can I possibly do to go against the school other than going to war, right?
Well,
and then
yeah.
they worry they'll take it out on the child. Yeah. But it sounds almost like some of this is about education to the schools that the
right.
school may unintentionally not understand what they're supposed
yes.
to do. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. And in a couple of different levels. So, again, you know, you bring up these same kind of points that we brought up with OCR, that there needs to be teacher training. Teachers don't know enough. I mean, if you ask the teachers what is their training in ADD, as they went through teacher school or master's, very, very little, maybe a couple hours. They don't
mm-hmm.
understand it. You know, in this area, teachers anywhere have to get continuing education credits. They always have to be learning. And they can get CEUs for learning reading methods, new math methods. But you know what? They don't get it. They don't get credits for learning more about ADD. So we talked to OCR, you know, teachers need to be trained. Oh, and by the way, administrators need to be trained. Need to be trained. Because
mm-hmm.
administrators often do not know the law well enough. I was talking with a woman this evening who's down in North Carolina, She works for a school system. Her son is having a terrible time, and he has a 504, and he's still failing. So it's like, you know, where's that happening? You know, what, how's that happening? How come the school hasn't called to say, hey, it's not working, we need to sit down and get back together again? And earlier this week, I was on the phone with the school district in West Virginia. One of the IEP goals for the ADD child, severely ADD as well as learning disability, was that he should sit for 25 minutes. Well, I have not seen that on an IEP for years. It's just, it's ridiculous. You know, that's the goal, is for him to sit quietly for 25 minutes? No, that's no good. So people don't know. And
right.
You have to educate. And you have to get yourself as much as you can involved in the community. There are, you know, Chad has websites, the NRC, the Office of Civil Rights. If you go to the Department of Education Office of Civil Rights and look up ADD, there's going to be a lot of information for you. And you do want to educate yourself. As I said to this woman in North Carolina today who happens to be a teacher in the small school district, you know, I can be the bad guy, you know. I can say to the school, I think you're doing this wrong, because she's concerned about retaliation against her son or against her. And, of course, that's a violation of civil rights, but you have to prove it.
Right.
I said, but that could be my job. I could be the bad guy. But, you know, you could go to school and say, well, I, you know, this is what Dr. Katz said I should say. That's fine, you know. It's just like being a good parent, you know, if you don't want your teenager to do something wrong, say, well, you know, tell them you have bad parents and they're terribly strict, and if you do anything, that you're going to be in so big trouble. It's all your parents' fault.
Right.
Okay.
You can pass the buck a little bit.
Exactly.
And the stories that you're telling, I'm sure that there are many people listening to this and who will listen to this show in the future who are, you know, in these kind of situations. And you mentioned something really quickly that I want to just point out to our listeners, because it's a great resource. You mentioned the Chad National Resource Center. Can you tell people about that? Because my experience with parents over the years, like yours, is that so often they don't know, well, what could I possibly do? Who would I even call? I call my state rep and say, hey, my kid has this disability and no one is listening to me? They don't know what to do.
So one of those resources is the National Resource Center for Attention Deficit Disorder. So CHAD.org, you know, is an organization devoted to ADD. It's the largest organization in the world. But an arm of CHAD is the National Resource Center. And the National Resource Center receives funding from the Center for Disease Control. I forget which office. It's Office of Developmental Disabilities, whatever, but they receive funding to run the National Resource Center. So it's government-funded. It's been authorized by Congress. So they have information specialists. What I love telling people is you have a question and you call the National Resource Center, somebody's going to answer the phone. And if they don't have the answer for you or can't direct you to it, they will find that answer and give you a call back. Chad has a library of research and other material related to ADD with a full-time librarian. I mean, the National Resource Center, Susan Vosberg, who runs it, they're a fantastic resource. And the number one call they get, and they field a few hundred thousand calls a year, the number one call they get is about Section 504 or about IEPs, school-related issues with ADD. So they won't be able to, you know, get on the phone with you at a meeting and advocate for you, but they can get you the information they need and also point you towards resources. And talking about resources, most states have, I think Virginia's called PT, but states have advocacy, educational advocacy resource centers. You have to do a little bit looking on Google. But that's also what they're there for, too. There are a lot of resources out there where you look for them. But about ADD in particular, calling the NRC is really a way to go. And if you go online and look them up, again, they also have a lot of resources online.
Okay. That's a great advice. So the National Resource Center for ADD at CHAD.org. I just wanted to highlight that for parents. We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, Dr. Katz, I want to ask you a little bit more about this idea of teacher training and a little more about advice for parents. If they do get a Section 504, you've mentioned some things to me that they should suggest, and I want to just highlight, because you have such tremendous knowledge. We'll be right back, everyone. Dr. Jeffrey Katz has a website, Dr. Jeffrey Katz, katz.com, and you can reach him also at info@drjeffreykatz.com. We will be right back, everyone.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We are here today with Dr. Jeffrey Katz talking about 504 plans. And one of the reasons that I personally wanted to do this show is that I think so many advances have been made, and we know so much about the brain. But the fact is that if your kid needs certain accommodations in order to reach their potential, tremendous potential for our community, it's still tough. And a lot of parents, I find over the years, kind of give up and don't know what to do. And they're trying their best, and they really could use the support, for instance, of the 504 plan. You said to me on the phone, Dr. Katz, once when we spoke, you said that if people get a 504 plan, they should have a couple things. You said something about accommodations, and then you said something about meeting again. And you said that's sort of a tip to make sure those things are included. Can you tell me more about that?
It may sound simple, but it's important. If you have a 504 meeting, and one thing I say to parents is the initial thing is to get the 504, even if it had just one accommodation, like preferential seating closest to instruction. Of course, you want more than that, but if at first that's all you can get, at least you have the 504 plan, because you can't take that away. Once you have that, you can spend more time getting more accommodations. But what I do talk about is that when you have a 504 meeting and eligibility or whatever, and you have that, before you leave, you need to set up the next meeting. You need to say, well, that's great. I'm so happy and look forward to seeing how this works. I want to set up the next meeting. How about 4 weeks? We'll see how this is working. The usual response of the school is going to be, oh, no. I mean, we can always have a meeting if we need a meeting, but we don't need to set it up now. We have a 504 plan. You know, if things aren't working out, we can certainly meet again. The problem with that is, and they'll say, you know, the 504 is a living document. Again, it can always be changed. But I don't want to wait for things to be going wrong before I call a meeting. And most parents, even if things are starting to go wrong, they don't want to call a meeting because they're afraid it's going to be a problem or it's going to, you know, create waves. So they keep waiting until it's a real big problem. Like I said before, 95% of the time, the school is not going to call and say, something's not working, please come in for a meeting.
Right.
So it's up to the parent. So to me, by saying, no, I want to schedule the meeting now, if things are going well, it'll be a real short meeting. But generally what happens is you put in accommodations, some interventions, and you want to see how they're working. And generally, they're going to have to be modified. Some things are going to, you're going to find, well, you know, they're not really not necessary. You may find that, well, this accommodation is working okay, but we see that now it creates more of this problem, or we didn't think about this, right? So the way to follow up is to always schedule that next meeting. And it's letting the school know that you're going to be on this. You really want to watch how it's working. And to me, it gets the teachers more inclined to keep in mind the 504 and what you're doing for the child. And I'll say in addition that sometimes you're going to recommend something. You're going to say, I think my child needs this. And the school's going to say, no, we don't see that. We really don't see that. And you're going to say, well, I do. So you can put in there, you can say in those extra minutes, that we need to gather data on this. So I think my child needs, say extra time, you know, and the school says, well, we don't think so. I would like us to take data on this. I would like teachers over the next 4 weeks to keep track of how often an assignment is not turned in complete or how long it's taking my child. So you're putting into exactly what you want. You want them paying attention to it. And then in 4 weeks, you and the school will have the data to know if it's necessary or not. And most schools are going to go for that. They like data. You know, there you are saying, I want to get data, okay? I disagree with you. Let's get the data. The thing.
What I love about that, too, is that on some level, and this is the cynical position, you know, you're allowing, sometimes the schools don't want to do it, you're allowing them an out. If there's no data, then you don't need the extra time, right? That can be the thought process. But what I love about it is that it's not a subjective thing, because so often, you know, you have been counting that there's been 29 missing assignments, right?
Yes, right.
But
right,
the school isn't collecting a holistic picture. And that's often, as a coach, the role I play is that I will, you know, come in and say, well, this is what I observed. And, you know, how many missing assignments do you think this kid had? Well, I have a record of, you know, 29 or whatever.
Right.
But I think that the data is just a great way to drive it. And I think it kind of neutralizes it. I mean, what's been the reception, Dr. Katz, when you say things like that?
Well, they kind of gasp a little bit, but they understand, they see why it's important. So in the end, that is what happens. They will collect data, and in general, it shows those kinds of issues. I mean, you still have to work with it, but then you're in a working partnership, right?
Yeah.
Because then they're getting the depth of your concern, right? That it's not just, oh, you know, give me extra time and, you know, everything's going to be fine. They really get the depth of it, particularly when schools are, kids are in middle school or high school, when there are a lot of teachers involved, right? You know, one teacher doesn't necessarily know what the other one is dealing with.
Right.
So sometimes it's having them all getting the same data that people get on the same page. One thing I thought I'd better mention, too, is a difference also now with 504s is that under Section 504, you can request an evaluation. You can request an evaluation for learning disabilities.
Okay.
And under 504, you can get occupational therapy if it's needed and assistive technology. So it had been in the past that the only way you can get the, I forget there's a name for those services, ancillary services or whatever, was through special education. You can do that through a 504. So if there's a question, if a child has a 504 and there's a question about maybe they have a learning disability, you don't necessarily have to go through the special ed process. The 504 team can make the decision that the child gets an evaluation for a learning disability.
Wow. That is a game changer, because a lot of times, as you know, it's a steeper hill to get that IEP. And so I personally really think that that would be very beneficial to our community. We have to wrap up, but what I'm hearing from you that I want to make sure we stress to parents is that the data piece is a way to hold people accountable, and it doesn't have to be adversarial. It's a partnership.
Right.
And the other thing is that the 504 should and can list interventions and assistive technology and occupational therapy, rather than, not that these things aren't important, but traditionally it has been a document that said basically this kid will receive extra time, preferential seating, things like that, but it didn't give those skill building activities that build executive function that we need.
Right. It wasn't directly, this is what you need to do, or this is how you do it. Let's learn these skills. And I use that all the time now. You know, that's what we're trying to get the kid to do, and we have to move them along through that process of learning.
Right. Absolutely. And we want them to reach their potential and be their best self. And thank you so much, Dr. Katz, both for the work you do and for sharing this. I know I have a bunch of people who I would love to share this show with, and I'm sure there are others listening who really need this information. So, everyone, thank you for joining us tonight. This was Dr. Jeffrey Katz. You can see his information at drjeffreykatz.com, K-A-T-Z. And thank you so much, Dr. Katz. This was a pleasure.
And thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
No problem.